This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. When Dominion Energy released a plan to build the Atlantic Coast Pipeline, the company publicly unveiled a map that showed the natural gas line would end in the middle of a field in Robeson County, North Carolina. But according to an Associated Press report, developers are considering extending the pipeline through Robeson County and into South Carolina. Now, that's a move that would have environmental, economic, and cultural impact on the community, the whole community, including members of the Lumbee tribe. Lauren Onasorge is a reporter with the Triangle Business Journal, and she's been following the story of the Atlantic Coast Pipeline. She joins me now. Welcome back, Lauren.
Hi, Frank. How are you?
I'm doing well. Remind us again about this pipeline, the kind of what the plan is for it and, you know, sort of where it goes.
Yes. So the pipeline is pumping out fracked natural gas from West Virginia through Virginia and into North Carolina, starting in Northampton County, extending through Robeson County. It crosses several rural communities among the state's poorest areas with high unemployment rates, high minority makeups. But the proponents of this project say that with more natural gas, they'll be able to lure in manufacturers and create jobs for places that really could use those jobs.
So that's been the promise. Where is the pipeline now in the approval and the construction process?
No construction has happened. Atlantic Coast Pipeline has told me that they would love to start tree clearing by the end of this year, but that's dependent on permits. And right now, they still need water quality permits from the state. They need federal approval. So this is in no way a done deal. They're very confident that they will get those approvals, but they do not have them in place right now.
All right. So the company says ultimately it will lower prices or at least check rising prices and therefore attract industry and jobs. That's the promise of the pipeline. But there's some pushback. What are the environmental concerns or what are the concerns? And I think that some of them are environmental.
A lot of them actually deal with property values. That seems to be property values and safety seem to be the top concerns I'm hearing from landowners. While the pipeline developers, Dominion and Duke, say this is extremely safe, the property owners are asking me, well, what's safer, having a pipeline in my backyard or not having a pipeline? They're concerned about property values. Say you're trying to sell your home and you have a pipeline somewhere on your property. Perhaps someone might not want that baggage in the future. While they're paid for this easement, for Dominion's right to use their land for this pipeline, a future homeowner wouldn't get that benefit because it is a one-time payout. So that's where a lot of this criticism is coming. And then there are obviously environmental concerns because of the invasive nature of this project. They are trenching land to put in a pipeline.
So tell us a little bit more about this recent revelation, because there were indications, all indications were that this pipeline was starting in West Virginia and was going to end in North Carolina in Robeson County. Tell us about that, about the termination point.
Sure. So as you stated, the AP has put out a report based on some leaked comments. So I talked to the Atlantic Coast Pipeline about this last week. They're saying that these remarks that it could extend to South Carolina were made in response to a comment from a panel moderator. They say that the moderator was saying that South Carolina also desperately needs more natural gas infrastructure. So he was asked, what are your long-term plans? So he responded that while the focus is on completing the project as proposed, it could be expanded in the future. And that's really the point of contention. They say that from the beginning, they've been very clear that the infrastructure could be expanded in the future. A lot of people are saying that that is not the case. But if they were to extend this project into South Carolina, it would require a complete new regulatory review. It would be as if they were starting the project all over again. So it's not something that could happen tomorrow or even next year. They would have to go through all of this again to extend the project.
All right. And what do we know about the economic impact on a state like North Carolina? What does it really mean to bring in a natural gas pipeline through the state?
Well, it depends on who you talk to. When I talk to economic developers, they say that the potential for new jobs is incredibly significant. Tony Copeland, the Commerce Secretary for the state of North Carolina, in several interviews has stressed that these areas need manufacturers, and manufacturers, quite frankly, won't come without more natural gas. Now, the area is obviously served by natural gas, but Dominion and Duke have said that there are opportunities for a potential tap into this pipeline. Now, it's not like a farmer can just plug up and get natural gas from this pipeline. It would require paperwork, approvals. It would be a very big manufacturing project, but they're saying that's another potential draw to get a manufacturer in rural eastern North Carolina. There are obviously construction positions. Those are temporary, but as is the nature of construction jobs, a lot of those positions are temporary anyway. So there's also a tax value. The equipment that's used would be taxed. It's in Robeson County, which is I know what we're talking a lot about today. They expect to get $890,000 in tax revenue from this project. So there are several potential economic development benefits, and that's really what people are stressing, the natural gas pipeline as a way to recruit manufacturers.
All right, Lauren, I want you to hang on the line as I introduce Ryan Emanuel. Ryan is a professor in the Department of Forestry and Environmental Resources at North Carolina State University. He's also an enrolled member of the Lumbee Tribe and a member of the North Carolina Commission of Indian Affairs Environmental Justice Committee. And he's been looking into the potential impact on the extension of the Atlantic Coast Pipeline and joins us now. Ryan, thank you for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Frank.
What is the reaction? You talk about, I know that you've been working with the community, particularly the Lumbee community, about this pipeline. How is it being received?
Well, so this is late-breaking news to people in the Lumbee community, but one of the reactions is one of confusion, because for two or three years now, the community's been told that this pipeline is being constructed to meet the needs of people in Virginia and North Carolina. And when you have a statement like the one that the vice president of Dominion said, that a billion cubic feet per day could move into South Carolina, that's between half and two-thirds of the pipeline's entire capacity. So it's sort of a strange thing to square between using the energy in North Carolina and Virginia and then sending half or more to South Carolina.
So that came, that news or that comment, that and the quote was, everybody knows it's not going to end in Robeson County, right?
Yeah.
That was the quote. So that's is it a zero-sum game? Is this it? I mean, you've got a supply, and therefore if you send some to South Carolina, there is less for North Carolina? Or how does this work?
Well, in the environmental impact statement for the pipeline, they have requested a capacity of 1.5 billion cubic feet per day. They've also requested the option to bump that up to 2 billion cubic feet per day. And my understanding is that there are technological limitations to going beyond that. So this pipeline is built or is proposed to be built for a 1.5 to 2 billion cubic feet per day capacity total.
And then if the pipeline does move south, I guess it would cross the Lumbee River.
That's a big concern. So if you move south from the proposed end of the pipeline, you would have to cross the Lumbee River. And in addition to being very important to Lumbee people as a symbol of our culture and identity, it's also a national wild and scenic river.
Is there concern in that area of the country right now in Robeson County, and particularly among the Lumbee, about the route so far? How about where it's going to land right now if it were to stop there?
So people are concerned about the route in Robeson County, especially in the Lumbee community of Prospect. The Dominion vice president said that everyone knows it's not going to end in Lumberton, but in reality, the proposed end is a small, predominantly Lumbee community called Prospect. And the infrastructure ending in that community is really going to have a big impact on the character and the nature of that community. And people are concerned about safety, property values, all of the things that Lauren raised.
Well, how about the other thing she raised is potential economic impact, jobs. Robeson County has generally a slightly higher average unemployment rate. Are those prospects in any way encouraging to people down there?
Well, there's been no discussion of what types of manufacturing companies or what even what sectors of industry might come to the region. Tribal members have asked, and the tribal council has asked Dominion to clarify, and they've provided no information yet, even about the sectors of industry that might come. So perhaps some could be beneficial, but there are also industry sectors that may not be a good fit. And it's troubling that no one's asked the tribe or any other local community about the types of industry portfolio or profile that they might consider being a good fit with their community.
Well, I understand there was a meeting this past Monday between the Lumbee Tribal Council and Dominion Energy's policy team. What came out of that meeting?
Dominion shared information with the tribe as they have in the past. They reiterated that the plan for the pipeline is to end in Robeson County and wouldn't go beyond that or comment on this proposed expansion of South Carolina. But it's so it leaves people confused and a little bit troubled about what's the real plan here? What are the true intentions?
And you voiced concern also about the protection of cultural artifacts as the pipeline is created.
Yes. So one of the outcomes of the environmental review process is that the developer is now supposed to notify tribes in the event of unintended or unanticipated discoveries of archaeological resources or human remains. But there's no plan in place to actually consult with the tribes about what happens to those remains or other resources once they're discovered. Where will they go? Who will retain stewardship over them?
Lauren Onosorge at the Triangle Business Journal. I've got about 30 seconds left, but just very quickly, what would be the timeline if there were no more delays for the construction of that project?
If they're able to get the permit, they would be able to start tree clearing maybe in November, maybe as early as November, they tell me. They are constructing the pipeline in three tranches in North Carolina. They plan to start with the north and southern ends and then fill out the middle in a couple of years. So that's really the timeline that they're working with.
Lauren Onosorge is a reporter with the Triangle Business Journal. Thank you, Lauren.
Thank you.
Ryan Emanuel, a professor in the Department of Forestry and Environmental Resources at North Carolina State, an enrolled member of the Lumbee Tribe, and a member of the North Carolina Commission of Indian Affairs Environmental Justice Committee. Ryan, thank you so much.
Thanks, Frank.
You can find out more at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, we talk with three WUNC reporters about Hurricane Matthew and the efforts to rebuild from that hurricane 1 year ago. Stay with us on The State of Things.